Matthew 21. I can't say enough about how God met with us this morning, and it was truly a blessing to see 50 people lifting their voices in praise to the Lord. Afterwards, being able to maintain all of the protocol, but yet talk to some people. Some people I hadn't seen since March, and praise the Lord. I don't know what they thought I looked like any different, but maybe I looked a lot different. Who knows? I didn't ask them, didn't want to know. And but you can change a lot in 5 months is what I'm saying. And praise the Lord for that. But now I'm just as equally excited right now to be looking at four people. I'm looking at four people right now. And well, I'm not even really looking at them. I'm looking at you, you on the screen, all right, or on the camera. But I'm equally excited to be opening up God's Word. Now, I don't know that we're going to continue this series on the parables any further. Obviously, we did not cover all of them, but I'm still praying about that for next Lord's Day. But today is the parable of the wicked husbandman. The wicked husbandman. Our reading is in Matthew chapter 21. And once again, we are at a place, the Lord Jesus is at a place in His life where He is headed to Calvary. You know, that's really why Jesus came. You know, the song says, born to die upon Calvary. Jesus suffered that we might live, that we might go free. And so, but He's getting closer to Calvary in Matthew chapter 21. And we pick it up in verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it about, round about, and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time was come, and when the time of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Here's a key part of the parable. But last of all, he sent unto them his son. He sent his son. Anybody know of someone who sent their son? I know of someone who sent their son, saying, "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance." They caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Wow. Now this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. This is Jesus speaking to the religious zealots of the day. And this is Jesus confronting them with a parable, and he's asking them a question. I'm not going to get too far ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible and how full it is. And that's what we learned this morning in our morning service. Lord, I pray that the Bible would hold a heavy weight in our life. Please bless the Bible as it's being taught in the two teen classes and the lesson that's been taught for the children. May the Bible today shape our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, the Lord Jesus is on his way to Calvary. He's on his way to bleed and die for the sins of the whole world. That means he was on his way to bleed and die for your sins. He was and is the Son of God. Remember that. The Son of God. Only days are remaining in his earthly ministry. This earthly ministry began when he was baptized by John the Baptist. Just thought I'd throw that in there. John the Baptist, anyway. And for all of you folks out there who are concerned about denominations, there aren't going to be any in heaven, okay? But I always like to throw that out there, that John was called a Baptist in the Bible. I mean, come on now. And the reason why is because he was a baptizer, okay? There was no Baptist church in the New Testament. They weren't called Baptists, okay? Anyway, I'm getting my some digging a hole there, and some of you are getting all bent out of shape, and that's okay. Just get back. Let the Lord put you back into shape, okay? And so anyway, his earthly ministry began when he got baptized. And for 3 years, He crisscrossed the area and preaching and teaching, healing and doing all manner of good works. And you would have think that at the end of his life, everybody would have been sending him off and it would have been a great parade. Well, it started off that way a week before. It started off pretty good when he came into the city and the palm leaves came down and all of that. But a week later, everybody turned on him. And in this passage, though, that hasn't happened, of course, yet, but that's where he's headed. That's where he's headed. But in this passage, the Lord Jesus comes into contact, earthly speaking, with some of his greatest enemies. His greatest enemies. Now, you know what Jesus said. In the Bible, it says, love your enemies. And so I think it's wonderful how Jesus is able to sit across and have a conversation knowing what all those men are thinking about him. That'd be hard to do, you know? It'd be hard to do. If I was to sit across from you and know what you're thinking about me and know what you're thinking about what I'm saying and yet still be able to compose myself and love you and give you the goods. Well, that's what Jesus was doing right now to these Pharisees. And again, the expression that we want to make sure that we emphasize is found in the middle of verse 37. But last of all, he sent unto them his son. The last of all, he sent unto them his son. John 3:16, you know it, you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yep, you're right, exactly. They go hand in hand. This is exactly what is being talked about here in this parable. In this parable, the Lord Jesus Christ tells his greatest enemies how God had been working. God had been working through the prophets of old. God had been working through the men of God in that time. God had been working through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is always working. The parallel passage to this parable, that's three P's fast in a row there. Turn over to Mark 12, if you would. Mark chapter 12. Let's just look at it quickly. We're going to be right back to Matthew 21. Mark chapter 12, and it says there in verse number 3, and they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he said unto them, another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head. And sent him away shamefully handled. Verse 5. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. And here it is, verse 6. Having yet therefore one son. You see that? In chapter 21, in verse 37, it says in our text, it says he sent unto them his son. In Mark's gospel, same parable, different author, says he sent unto them. Therefore, one son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. One son. He sent his well-beloved. He sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. In this part of the parable, Jesus, when he references the son of the householder, he's talking about who? Himself. The son of the householder, of course, the householder is God. Okay, the son of the householder is himself. And so he's talking about himself at this point in this great parable. It's an expression in this parable is the greatest expression of love in all of the parables. Now, one compares to this. Maybe you remember which parable, and I don't really have time because I took a long time in the introduction. But the one parable that compares to this, in my opinion, is the prodigal son, and how that the father was out waiting for his son who had been wasting his inheritance, and he had been living in a riotous fashion, and he had been just throwing his money around, and then he ended up eating what the pigs eat. And of course, for a Jew to do that, that was totally taboo, and so forth and so on. And yet when that son said, you know what, even my father's servants have it better than me, I'm going home. And he went home, and there was his father ready to read him a riot act, right? There was his father ready to embrace him, ready to hug him. put shoes on his feet, a robe on his back, a ring on his finger, and throw a party that my son has come home. That's some compassion. That's some compassion. But this example, an expression of love that is given in this parable, as it not only is given to these Pharisees and speaking much in the sense of the Jewish nation, it is very applicable to a Gentile today as well, and maybe to a few other Gentiles that are listening. In this case, servants were sent time and time again to check on the vineyard. And time again, those servants were abused and killed. And the story tells us that finally, thinking that they would reverence his son, and those servants that were pictured, okay, anyway, we're gonna mention that in just a minute. I'm kind of telling the whole story, but let's jump into the outline, okay? All right, number one. The parable is about planting, okay? The parable about planting. Verse 33, the Bible says, there was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, okay? So obviously, if you're planting something, you are wanting to have a what? Harvest. When you plant a vineyard, you hope to have some grapes, all right? When you plant something else in your garden, whatever you're planting, you hope to have fruit. Let's just call it that. In a general sense, you want something to come from it. That's what this parable is about. It's about planting. These are Pharisees that are listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a man has planted a vineyard. Again, this is a parable that the Lord Jesus is using to try to teach these religious individuals truth. A certain householder, which is God himself, hedged it. Not only that, but he dug a wine press around it. Not only that, but notice that a tower was built. A tower would be used in this day to oversee the vineyard. You know, you get up above things, you get a better view. You could get up above, and it was for protection. It was to watch over the vineyard to make sure that there weren't problems that were coming in, or thieves that were coming in, or even some wild animals that could be coming in. And so, really, this householder, again, householder is God the Father, okay? And of course, the Son that he ends up sending is the Lord Jesus. But look, all that the householder does for the vineyard, he does everything that is needed for the vineyard. In this case, I believe that the vineyard in the application, the primary application, the vineyard in this case is Israel. Is Israel. And we know that from our previous parables that we've been teaching, that Israel is still God's chosen people, but they have been set aside. They have been set aside. They have not been abandoned, but they have been set aside. I believe, though, that the application, the secondary application to this message, isn't just that the Bible seems how this was primarily to these Jewish people, that it doesn't have any impact on us today. Of course it has an impact on us today, because the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. It doesn't say that it's only profitable for one group of people. Okay, it's profitable for all of us. But the householder did everything possible because there was a great desire for fruit to come from the vineyard. In other words, it was a great desire that the people of Israel, that the Jewish people, would bring forth fruit. By the way, God saved you and God saved me not to sit sour and soak. God saved you and God saved me to get into his word and to humble ourselves and bear fruit. As we abide in the vine, God has promised that we will bring forth fruit. So it can be extended. Okay, Israel has been set aside. All right, God, okay, here's something to think about. God put forth everything. I think I said this already, but I'm going to repeat it. God put forth everything that was needed so there would be fruit. And I emphasize this in my notes. God did it all. God made everything ready to go for the vineyard to be successful. And he was just sending back servants to check on the vineyard. Think about it. All throughout time, God has sent men and women with his word. With his word. We learned about that today. In fact, in the morning, we learned about how Samuel came with a word from God to Saul. And he told Saul, here's some instructions. I need you to follow these instructions. Very important. Saul, very important. Pay attention. Saul, maybe, I don't know, that's not in there, but maybe it's in the Hebrew. That's what he told him. And pay attention. I've got to, and we learned clearly today that Saul did not follow the instructions. That wasn't the primary message. The message was how weighty is the word of God in our life. The point is this, that Saul ignored the word of God. Saul ignored the prophet of God that God sent with the word of God. Saul did not have the 66 books like you and I have today, but he still had exactly what he needed to bear fruit. God sent the prophet with a word from God. And Saul said, I've got a better plan. You know what? That's exactly what we see here in this parable, is that the husbandman, God, the householder, God, had a vineyard, had a wine press ready to go for all the fruit, had a tower constructed, had it all laid out. He did it all. They were there to care for the vineyard, these husbandmen. They were there to be leaders. They were there to be true to the Lord and His work. We need to think today about what God has planted for us. What has God planted for you? You say, I don't have any grapevines in my backyard, okay? All right, let's think about the application, all right? God has done everything for all people. He's paved the way for us. First off, I think about this today as I'm thinking of as an unbeliever. Now, I am not an unbeliever. I'm on my way to heaven. I know if I die right now, I'm going to heaven. Maybe you're listening right now and you don't have that confidence. By the way, the confidence is not in me. The confidence is not in the Baptist church. I was kidding about that earlier. The confidence is not in any one man or woman. My confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, the Word of God. And I claim the promises of the Word of God. And I could talk about that to you all day. Maybe not all day. I'd have to take a break a little bit. But we could go through this word by word and verse by verse. And we could dialogue about it, those of you that are saved. And I mean, it's awesome. What I'm saying is, if you don't have that confidence, God has already paved the way for you to be saved. The vineyard's already been constructed. The tower's already been built. Everything's in place. You just have to walk into it. It's right there. And the problem is that the devil is the great deceiver and distractor. And he's throwing up all kinds of flares and saying, no, no, go over here. Go over here for a while. This way over here is really nice. The problem is he doesn't show you the end of that way over there. That way over there, it ends in destruction. That way over there, it ends in depression. And I'm not immune to depression. I'm just using as an illustration. There isn't anything good that comes out of that. And so God paved the way for this vineyard. It was, I mean, and He would send servants, and those servants were the prophets of old. That's what Jesus is saying to these men. It's interesting how he ends it with a question, and we're going to come to that. So number one, the parable was about planting. We need to think about what God has planted for us. We are the beneficiary of so many blessings. So we talk about how God has paved the way for our salvation. How about this? God has paved the way for our growth, our spiritual growth. How did he do that? He gave us his word. I mean, he gave us the best of the best, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Brother Mark's sons, Jeremiah, we were praying for him. He had that tragic accident a couple of years ago and almost lost his life. He was there helping at the Men and Boys camp out. And he was singing B-I-B-L-E in the kitchen while we were out having our physically distanced lunch. Families were sitting together and whatnot. And he got to the end, and you know, you're supposed to shout out Bible. I was just waiting for him to get to the end. Man, that was an invitation for me to holler out Bible, so I did. And he, I don't think he expected it, but he enjoyed it too. See, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's still the book for me. God's paved the way. God's paved the way for your spiritual growth through the Bible, through the local church. Hey, I'm glad you're live streaming with us today, but if this is not your local church, make sure you stay in contact with your local church. Stay in contact with your local pastor. Pray for your pastor and your pastor's wife. If you're from Anchor Baptist Church, thank you for being a part of this live stream today. Think of all that God has done for us. Not just 20 years ago, but how about 20 days ago and 20 weeks ago and 20 minutes ago and 20 hours ago. Whatever you have to do, don't forget that you are blessed. I am blessed. That's exactly what Jesus was trying to let these men know. The householder did it all. He provided it all. It's not my responsibility to fight and criticize everyone. It's my responsibility to bear fruit. Bear fruit. Number two, is the parable is about privilege. We kind of started into that with what I was just saying. Now, these religious leaders were very privileged. Very privileged. They had everything they needed to do what God wanted them to do. Everything that they needed. Look at verse 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. You know what that is? He sent help. He sent someone to help the husbandmen. To me, I believe those are the prophets that God has sent. I believe those are the preachers and teachers of the Word of God that God had sent. I believe those are the Isaiahs and the Jeremiahs. I believe those are the minor prophets. I believe those are the Habakkuks, as we looked at our men and boys camp out as well. And I believe those are the Joel and the Amos, even the Jonah who had a BA. Remember the bad attitude Jonah? Even a Jonah and Micah and so forth. And these Old Testament minor prophets with a major message, repent and turn to God. God is saying, I sent you servant after servant after servant. And I think about Jeremiah from time to time. All the preaching that Jeremiah did, and so little in the way of results. And I think of Jeremiah being lowered down into that mucky dungeon area, the things under his arms being lowered down into that area. And why? Just because he was preaching the message, repent, and preaching the message that God had given him, and nobody wanted to hear it. It's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, in a sense, they don't know it yet, but they're about to actually set themselves up with their answer. He's basically looking them eyeball to eyeball and saying, you are men of privilege. You were given everything you needed. Unfortunately, this message that he was giving did not fall on good ground. He told them here in this particular parable that the servants were beat and even killed. Each time that a servant would come, again, it's a parable, but he's getting their attention. Each time a servant would come, they would kill him, stone him, knock him on the head, Mark said. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, please, in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 1. The Bible says, God, in verse 1, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the who? Prophets. Remember, they didn't have near what we have today in writing. Now, we believe the Word of God is eternal. It's eternal. Just because the Bible wasn't in print doesn't mean it did not exist. I believe the Bible is eternal because it's God. This is God in print. But just because it wasn't in print doesn't mean that God didn't have a way to get His message to the people that it needed to come to, right? He spoke through the prophets, verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his who? His son. So here we are from this parable. Jesus is saying the servants were sent. I believe those are the prophets. And then he said nothing was working, so he sent his son. Now things were working, but I'm kind of paraphrasing there. And so he finally thought, I'm going to send my son. Now it wasn't that, don't think for a minute there that God had thought, oh, okay, well, my first plan failed, my second plan failed, my third plan failed, I better send my son so it works. That's not how. God knew from before the foundation of the world that Jesus would be slain. But I'm using this in an illustration from the parable and how Jesus was using something that they would be able to remember and think about because they knew about these Old Testament prophets. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Remember that statement? Heir of all things. Go back to Matthew 21, 38. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the what? Heir. Come, let us kill him. And here we see in Hebrews the same word. Amazing how the Bible fits together, doesn't it? Isn't it? And by whom also he made the worlds. So God sent his prophets. They didn't want him. They didn't want them. God sent his sons. Now, he hasn't killed, they haven't killed him yet, but that's coming. It's almost as if Jesus was predicting his soon-to-be crucifixion. Obviously, he knew it was coming. Point is, these were people of privilege. How about John the Baptist? How did it go for him? It didn't go very well. He lost his head. He preached about adultery. Didn't go very well with Herod. He ended up losing his head over it. All of the disciples were martyred post-Christ for their identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Possibly John may have been exempt, but even he was boiled in oil. The point is that so much has been done by our Heavenly Father, not just in this parable, but throughout all time. God's prophets have always been persecuted. Let's look at Romans 5, verse 10. Romans 5 and verse 10. Thank you for listening. Just about done with the parable today, but I hope there's some lights going on and God is kind of speaking to you, not kind of, but is speaking to you and we're listening. Romans 5, and you can put some of this together. Maybe some of you will be able to use it this week when you're talking to someone. You know, that's the idea. As we hear God's word, we want to repeat it. Verse 10, for if when we were what? Enemies. When we were enemies, right? So man in his natural state is the enemy of God. That means before you got saved and before I got saved, pardon me for pointing, you were the enemy of God. Now, it's good. That's why we rejoice that it says were. Amen? Amen. Were the enemy of God. We were reconciled to God. There's that word reconciled. I was talking about that earlier this week. By the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so the enemies of God, if you're without Christ today, I want to warn you that you're the enemy of God. But I also want to help you that God, as I said earlier, God loves his enemies even. And God has still made a way for you to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, his son. The question will be, will you receive him or will you be like these husbandmen who rejected even the heir? So it's the parable about planting, number one. Number two, it's the parable about privilege. And lastly, number three, it's the parable about punishment. Now, we ended our reading in verse 40. Let's go back there and read it one more time. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Now, Jesus is asking the Pharisees, what does he do with them? It's a setup. 41. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. You know that they're talking about themselves and they don't even realize it. And will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Now, in context, it's also talking about how the Jews were going to be set aside. And then the Gentiles were going to be pushing forward, and that's exactly what happened. And that's where I believe we're still at today. So that's primarily that's the primary application. But he's telling that to these Jewish people. Look at this. Jesus saith unto them. So they just gave the answer. Let them have it. Set them aside. Give it to somebody else. Did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. Oh, this guy's been talking about us. This guy's been saying we were privileged. This guy's been saying we killed his servants, his father's servants. This guy's talking about the future possibly. This guy's saying that we aren't going to have control. Not good. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the people, the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Number three, it's the parable about punishment. This parable tells us of what the Lord Jesus was willing to do for us. How he is the substitute for our death penalty. That this is the punishment for sin. Death. Death will always be the punishment for sin. These religious leaders, these religious men condemned themselves when they answered the Lord. They gave their own fate, if you will. In fact, Jesus Christ, the stone, and I wish we had more time, is mentioned in Psalm 118 and in Daniel 2. And so he's actually referring back to those passages of Scripture when he talks about that in verse number 42. 42. He's going back to those passages of Scripture. These religious leaders would have known those Scriptures. Okay? They would have known those Scriptures. I can just picture it as best I can that he's looking, he's told the parable, and he says, so, What happens to those husbands? They give him the answer, and I can just see him looking them right in the eyeball and giving them 42, 43, and 44, saying, you are rejecting the chief cornerstone. In other words, you are rejecting me. What does John 1:11 say? I don't expect you to know right off the top of your head, but it says he came into his own, and his own received him not. But, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power. As many as, in other words, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter who it is. He came unto his own, Jew, and they received him not. That's exactly who he's talking to right here. Now, a Jewish person can be saved as much as a Gentile can be saved. Everyone can be saved, because it says, but as many as, and we know Jewish people got saved. We've been reading about it in Acts. And we know Gentiles got saved. We've been reading about it, etc., etc. So this isn't a matter of only one can be saved. Anyone can be saved. But here's what's happening. What can we learn today? What can we learn today from this parable? Okay, let me quickly give you this as we bring it to a close. This thought, are we possibly guilty of sinning against all that God has done for us? These were very privileged religious people, okay? But let's think about it today as believers. Remember how much God has done for you. Some are going to walk right over the free gift of salvation and spend eternity in hell. They're going to walk right over it. I think that's so sad. I think that's so tragic. Like what Jesus, that's what he's saying to these men. Don't you remember what it said about the cornerstone? Don't you remember what it said about it in verse number 11? How the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? That's me, guys. Don't you remember Daniel? Don't you remember David? The prophets of old? Again, some have heard the truth and they've refused to believe the truth of the Word of God. They're walking right over the grace of God. We'll spend eternity in hell. How tragic. May we never get accustomed to the blessings of the Lord. You're saved today? I hope you never get over being saved. I hope you never get over the goodness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we never lose sight of all that God has provided us. The parable of the wicked husbandman. Much to consider. Much to consider.